everybody. I start by introducing myself, as most of you will not know me. I'm Daniel Bayer from Lübeck, from the Institute of for Neuro and Bioinformatics. And, well, I'm not a Debian developer, but a user since 7 or 8 years. And I'm here to speak about Debian for computational grids. Oh, and maybe you wonder who the Stephen Müller guy is. I'm a PhD student, and he's my supervisor. Actually, he will become a Debian developer soon. To the outline, at first I will give a short introduction to grids, as I think most of you will not know them. And when I will speak about different users, like mainly the biologists, and when I will, will explain how Debian comes into, how Debian fits into this. And then the main part, I will explain how to use Debian in the grid. At first, what's a grid? So, Jan Vosten proposed this definition. A grid is a system that coordinates resources that are not subject to centralized control using standard open general purpose protocols and interfaces to deliver known trivial qualities of service. So, the most important points of this definition are no centralized control, so it's distributed, and open protocols and interfaces. So it can work together with other grids, where different grid communities, all of them are using different softwares, and this has to be interoperable. This has to work together. Quality of service, so there are different kinds of grids. Different kinds of servers, but basically it's, basically there are data grids and computational grids. Data grids, we are just storing data, like it's generated by the biologists or by the physicists. We are generating huge amounts of data, and it has to be stored for several years. The computational grids were used to process this data that is stored. And I'm here to speak about computational grids. I already said there are different grid communities, and we are using different software. So I'm from the Nordic grid community, which is a grid community in the Nordic countries, like Norway, Sweden, Finland, and some countries nearby. Actually, this map is a little bit outdated. I think it's from 2005 or something. There are now some more participating. The Nordic grid community has its own middleware. So most grid communities, they use different middlewares, different software, but in most cases, it's just some subset of Globus. In the Nordic grid community, we got our own middleware, which is called ARC. ARC is special in that it is minimally invasive, and so it's pretty low. It's pretty small and lightweight and easy to install. So it's possible to install ARC server in one day alone. So one person, one day, which is not possible with other grid middleware. So that's a special point. How does the ARC middleware work? So the compute elements who do the processing of the jobs, these are the local batch systems, and so the job comes in via the grid, is submitted to the local batch system for processing, and the results are transferred back. Also, this has to be coordinated in some way, so there's a grid information system, which announce what kind of architecture, how much memory, what is available, what kind of software is available, and stuff like this to announce everything. The jobs itself were sent to sites who provide the necessary software, and additionally the data is also transmitted, of course. To the users, so there are different kinds of users in grids. Basically, it's the physicists. I think they started with the whole grid thing. They're running experiments, for example, in Geneva at the CERN, and creating huge data sets, searching for some particles, I think the Higgs boson or something. And so the grid was developed to fit to their needs. If you're more interested in this, the Atlas CERN project is, the CERN Atlas project is the one which is doing this one. Also, Atlas is the name of the software collection which does the which is doing the processing of the data. On the other hand, there are, for example, the biologists. The biologists were pretty very, very different from the physicists, as in that there's not one big project doing everything, but there are a lot of small projects which, which do not, which are not cooperating that much, and they're doing stuff like, analyzing the DNA and others. So the main difference between these both is the biologists were using hundreds or more different small programs, where the physicists are using only one big one. So the needs of these user groups are very very different. And of course, there are other user groups like the scientists, the computer scientists, the astronomers, the chemists, and many more. Basically, everybody who needs computing power and don't have his own grid, has his own cluster, is using the grid. So, how to embed the grid computing in into work groups? Well, basically, there's a big, there's a large work groups. Like yesterday, yesterday there was a talk from Tim who explained how they do this at the Sanger Institute. They got their own cluster. They don't need the grid. The grid would be, we gain nothing by using the grid. So, for large groups, the grid is just some extension of the local batch system of a local cluster, and it may be nice, but it's not essential. But there are some small groups, a lot of them, and they don't have their own cluster or their own infrastructure. So they strongly rely on the grid being available to do any processing which is not feasible to do on the local desktop. So this is for them the grid is essential. And often another problem with small groups, they don't got IT, IT people. So there are maybe, especially in the wet labs, 10 biologists sitting, and the one who's the most clever in IT things has to do all the work, and this does not scale. So for them, the grid is important. In Debian, there are already some science-related projects, like Debian Science and Debian Mate, who are providing software for different sciences. And this project already have a nice property. So as we allow to integrate with different groups, this large one or the small ones, because the small one we cannot, we just cannot get all the software installed themselves also. So it's nice that the large groups, they can do the packaging, can create packages and all everything, push it to Debian, and the small groups just can draw from there. So it's, on the side, Debian already provides a lot of service to work groups. And yeah, now to the grid part. So why using Debian for doing grid computing? I think I don't have to explain all the advantages of Debian here, but I want to point out some I think are important. For example, the first one, with Debian, you don't have to hunt for packages. It's just there. So if you use some other distribution and you're asking around, I need some package, the answer is use rpmseek. And when you do this and you find something, and maybe it works, maybe not. So with Debian, there's no need for this. It's just going and installing via apt-get, and it's there. Another feature of Debian is security updates for many years. I understand that this is not, that some don't think this is a feature, but only because of long release cycles. But it's still very important to have security updates still 3 or 4 years after releasing the system. And I strongly hope this will also be available if the release cycle should become shorter. Of course, the package system is very good, and one point in Debian, it just works somehow, yeah? So I never managed to screw up a Debian system, but I was sitting in front of of another Linux distribution some weeks ago and just installed something and it broke completely. So I never had this experience with Debian. So this is one of the of advantages. Of course, there are also known technical reasons. For example, there's a helpful community. If you're using something else, then, well, the community is still helpful, but we are not that technically addicted, and they try to help, but they can't because they don't know much about the techniques behind. And with Debian, you always have some clever mind who knows how it works and can explain the error and can fix it or can say how to fix. And of course, because all of this reasons before, there's a personal preference for Debian. And that's not only for me, but for a lot of people. And image computing. But there are some grid communities who require the use of some other operating system. So actually, if you want to be part of this community, then you have to use, for example, Scientific Linux if you are in a G or whatever. But NordoGrid, we don't require such a thing, and so everybody's free to use what he wants, and we want to use Debian.
So the IRC level layer handles the differences between nodes. So you're using Debian, someone else is using, say, Fedora or whatever.
Yes.
And if you reference a file in the file system, it does the translation. For example, etc., say RCD, whatever it is, on Debian may not exist in Red Hat or Fedora.
I don't understand quite the question.
So there's configuration things which are different between Fedora, for example, and Debian. And does the ARC layer, the grid layer, handle doing the translation to give you a single system image? Or what is it providing for you?
What Debian is for me, or what the...
The grid layer.
Grid layer.
Layer, the grid layer.
Yeah, the grid layer.
Yep.
So, the grid layer is not specific to any distribution, I think. So, it's just a policy that you have to use some distribution for binary compatibility or something. And when we force, for example, the use of Scientific Linux, which is very strong in grid computing. And if there's no such enforcement, then of course you can use what you want or what is feasible, what is accepted in the community you are in. Next slide. Okay, so one way to use grid is, one way to use Debian in the grid is, of course, using it to run the middleware, which means Arc in this case. And a system running Arc needs this additional, except for Arc, with packages. So we need the Globus toolkit, so we are still relying on it, although we got our own middleware. But for stuff which is in the Globus toolkit, we don't implement it in use, but use the Globus toolkit. The Globus toolkit itself is a collection of different parts, and these are the parts which are needed by Arc. You may wonder why there's an open LDAP. The Globus toolkit comes with its own very old version of open LDAP and is needed. So no other open LDAP but the one from Globus. It needs the grid packaging tools. These are needed for compiling the Globus toolkit, and optionally WOMS. WOMS is a virtual organization management system. And, of course, some open source tools and libraries which are available in Debian. Looking at this list, of course, there's a question of how to package Debian, how to package Arc. And we tried, and some problems arise. So the first problem is that Globus is not really designed to be integrated into distribution. So it's using a known channel build system. It comes with own open LDAP and so on. So it's... And it's huge, so it's difficult to get this in shape to be included into a Linux distribution. The second problem, sometimes we need specific versions of libraries. So, for example, we need OpenSSL 0.9.7, which is quite unfortunate as this is being dropped from Linux distributions. So actually, to compile Arc, I had to get the OpenSSL headers from Stable. Now it's old Stable. Some time back, because there are no development package of OpenSSL 0.9.7 anymore in unstable or testing. Actually, this is a dependency of Globus. And problem with GSOAP, this is more complicated. So actually, there's no version of Arc, of the current stable Arc. That was the other way around. The current stable Arc, there's no version of GSOAP in Debian which is supported. So it's either too old or too new, which is also not that good. But this is fixed in the subversion now, and so the current Arc is working with the GSOAP from unstable. And a last problem, the license issue. Arc is GPL software, but use OpenSSL, and of course, this has to be changed. But this is not that much of a problem, as the community, the developers, is rather small, and so it should be possible to add a close. Much more interesting is using Debian on the worker node. So this means the one doing the computation. How it works? Usually, the jobs are coming in via the grid, and then we ascend via the local batch system to the worker nodes. And the jobs, of course, we need the applications. They're just coming in is only the data and some small start script. And so the actual application must be pre-installed on the worker node. And this is a lot of work for the local sysadmin, so you cannot do this manually. So the idea is we are using Debian and Debian packages for providing the software in the most automated way. This is what we try to do. But at first, I want to elaborate a little bit on the current situation, how it all works. And so nowadays, the site admin has to install some software. He has to either make the round to all worker nodes or using some automatic system and install the software in all places. And then he has to prepare a runtime script, which is sourced by the job multiple times and enables this runtime environment RTE. Then the middleware, so Arc in this case, scans for this runtime environment scripts, and if it finds any, it announces the availability of this runtime environment via the grid information system. And the client, if he wants to submit a job, he search in the grid info system for this runtime environment and submits the job to a site which announces the availability of this runtime environment. So this is how it now works. What the middleware and the client are doing is fine, but this manual deploying does not scale, so this has to be changed. Another slide on this, of course, you have to organize somehow. You have to agree on the names of runtime environments, and this is currently done via a website, which is hosted somewhere in Finland. And, let's zoom in. And where we just got the name of some runtime environment, in this case, apps bio Jasper Core 1.0, and the description, which is a bit short in this case, and some other meta information. And yeah, so of course, this also doesn't scale. This is feasible for maybe 30 or 50 runtime environments, but if you are doing this for 100 or 1,000, then you can't do this management via website. So these are the current problems with deploying software. Actually, this is an open problem, so there's nothing better available. So I think most people are just installing manually or something like this. Well, to address this problem, we created a new service for the grid called the Janitor. The Janitor is a component which automatically installs runtime environments if they are requested by a job. So we get dynamic runtime environments. And the information about this is stored in a catalog, which is RDF-based, and allows to automatically do this. Of course, they are also removed if they are not needed anymore. This whole thing integrates with the grid in such a way that it's transparent. So the client, he does not know if a runtime environment is just available. Well, he only knows if it's available. He does not know if it's installed or if it will be installed if he submits a job. He only knows it's available and he can submit a job and the job will execute. How this is done, he does not know. So the pieces of a dynamic runtime environment. It consists of a unique name, of course, a description, and the information how to deploy. This is, as said, stored in an RDF database. And yeah, of course, we have to support different ways of deploying because the users, they are using different, well, the users, the grid sites, they are using different softwares. We are using Debian, others are using Scientific Linux or whatever. So we have to do multiple ways. And the first one we did was just using some tar file. So the tar file consists of the actual software, some install script, and the runtime script. And so the software is just dropped somewhere, the install script execute, and the runtime script fixed, and when it works. So for a first shot, this is pretty good. But of course, there are problems with dependencies. So there's support between RTEs and between tar files, but not between other things. But okay, so the advantage of this is it's easy to create these files, and it's easy to install them. It's just dropping them somewhere. Also, we have no purpose of conflicts because the conflicts, the packages were enabled by this runtime script. So we are living in some directory, and if a runtime script is sourced, then we're available. If not, then not. So there is no problem with this. A disadvantage is we are not. It is not possible to depend on system software. System software is like ordinary Debian packages. So I can't say this runtime environment needs this Debian package. It's not expressible. Another problem is, how do we install dynamic runtime environments which needs a conflicting set of system software? So if runtime environment A needs some software and runtime environment B some other software and they conflict, this is also not possible. And of course, it's easy to create these tar files, but if you have to do this for a thousand, then it may be a lot of work. So this has to become better. And the idea is to use Debian packages and virtualization to solve this problem, to make it fully automatically and easy usable. So we want to, dynamically create virtual machines fitting the job's requirements and execute the job within the virtual machine. Creating virtual machines is quite easy if you've got a minimal one, which is created in any way. And you can just add packages using fork, change root, and access apt-get, and when you get your image as you want it, if you are only using Debian packages, of course. Oh, I have to hurry. Also, the build team is are doing the same thing. The main advantage of this is that dependencies on system software are handled automatically, and we don't have to clean up after us, because there are no conflicts. Because we are just throwing away the virtual machine and creating a new one. Okay, so the current state of work. The ARC middleware is used since 2001, and it's still developed, of course. Currently, we are developing version ARC 1.0. This is done by the NUARC project. You maybe notice this little logo on the bottom. This is a project founded by the European Union to develop the next version. What is mostly needed currently, mostly wanted, is the batch system which knows what's sent. So currently there is no way to execute a virtual machine via a batch system or something, or start a virtual machine. So it has to be done in some, either by hand or via some hacky scripts and so on, so it's quite difficult. And so this is the main problem with this approach currently. It's missing some infrastructure. And of course, we also need some more open community for grid computing. And I think this was the last slide. No, it wasn't. Conclusions. And so the main advantages of this approach is we get Debian. I made this yesterday, so. Okay, so why are using Debian? We can do this automatically, so we don't have to worry about problems like this. Okay, just skip this slide. Acknowledgements, so this is a list of the people involved in this. Nordegrid from Nordegrid and NOAC. And for example, Anders, he's doing the packages for Debian and others. And Frederick also did some development and others also. What I have to say, I forgot. If you're interested in this kind of work and don't mind spending some time in Lübeck, then you can also just call me, and I think we can be arranged. So if you're a student, of course. And nothing else. So thanks for your attention and questions. Hi.
No, my name is Andreas Tiller, and you got it?
Hi, my name is Andreas Tiller, and I would like to know if you talk to the upstream maintainers of Globus, because you told us that it is not really prepared for integration and distribution. So if from a maintainer point of view, you should go to them and teach them how to do.
Yeah, one should think that, but well, I'm not doing this much of developing at the middle of where at this of. So well, I'm not that much into this, but the guys developing the Nordicut middleware, ARC, they had to, we had to patch actually Globus a little bit and made some changes. It's I think about 20 patches or something, so in this amount. And they said, I don't know, that they are quite unresponsive, so it's difficult. So I don't know.
But the problem is if several people are using this software and they are working together in Nordicut or whatever, wouldn't it be a nice goal to approach to say, well, build some package of this software and work together with these people that you have some common base? And you told me that ARC would need only one day to install. So yeah. This is much, in my opinion. You could do it better if it would be a package and would need perhaps yes. Half an hour.
Of course, you could. I mean, there are packages for RPM-based systems we are building, and, well, actually, Anders is building his packages. But currently, there's no real package for Debian, which is a little bit unfortunate. It's, well, we are more problems with Globus, for example. So other grid communities are also using Globus, but it's always a different subset of Globus. So the Globus toolkit has many parts, and some are using these parts, some are using these parts in different versions, and it's
yeah, but we are talking about integration in Debian. So, well, but do you see any chance, or do you want to stick to the current status quo?
Well, I would like to have ARC and boost Globus in Debian, of course. Actually, we are working on this. So, but I don't know. There's some problems to solve still.
Okay, you have some homework to do. So,
I think Stefan got some packages, but I don't know if they are working. So,
okay. Next one.
Nobody.
So.
Ah.
Thanks, Andreas. So you said that you're integrating in external third-party things using tuples. If you just go back to that page for a second, just go back to the page on that you had on integration of third-party. Yeah, that's one.
What one?
The dynamic runtime environment.
It's a bit lacking.
So what's the status of that? I wasn't quite clear that you actually are doing that for.
This is what we are doing. So that's working. So we get the star files and we can just drop the contents and when you have your runtime environment available. So
this
is working.
Okay,
that's just a timeout. But
so for a lot of the software that you're talking about, for example, things like Blast or probably other bits of, I'm only familiar with biotech stuff, but they probably aren't in Debian. Have you thought about contributing those packages that you're creating in the Debian stuff back into Debian?
I mean, getting them into Debian Blast?
For example, one of the things you might install in a runtime environment if you're doing biosciences would be a Blast analysis package.
Yeah, of course.
But those third-party packages, will be in Debian. If you're creating a deb file of those, are you upgrading? Is there any thought of pushing those back into Debian themselves? Or is there any?
Well, I have some problems understanding you. Maybe we discuss this later.
Okay.
I'm still typing, or I was out.
Can you hear me or not?
Huh? Yeah, I can hear you, but I wonder if you are still. Yeah, okay. So, for now it's only the star package thing because it was simple to do and it's working everywhere, as I said. So, if we are using Scientific Linux, which is quite common, then we can also do some tar package stuff. And, of course, I want to go to Debian packages, which means also including them into the distribution. because it's just simpler. But yeah.
I'll have a chat to you afterwards. Thanks. Hmm?
So, more questions? No.
Thank you.
Thanks again.